Oh. I'm a for just another day. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And we will rejoice,
yes, Lord,
and be glad in it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 We thank God for all of you that are watching us live through Facebook Live. Amen. We greet you. Thank you so much for tuning in to our Thursday night service with Bishop Omar Zachary and family ministry. Amen. It's a family affair. Amen. And during this time, during this season, I really believe that God has allowed the virus, amen, to come to get the families back in order. Amen. I really believe that. I'm not saying that God sent, amen, the virus, but I am saying he allowed it to come. Amen. It didn't catch him by surprise. Nothing catches our God by surprise. Amen. So we're just grateful and we celebrate him.
Yes, yes.
Amen. So often, amen, for so many years, especially in the church, we know how to have church. We know how to put on church. Amen. We know how to shout. We know how to speak in tongues. We know how to run around. We know how to dance. We know how to do all that inside the building. But when we get home, we have no joy. When we get home, we have no peace. When we get home, we have no celebration. Amen. So we that have been in church any length of time, we know how to have church. Amen. I see you, Sister Hannah, that you came back to hear part two. Amen. I'm glad you're back. Amen. We're going to give you part two on tonight. Amen. And we want to thank all of those that are listening to us through Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Elder Derek Oliver, his wife, Lady Keitha Oliver, we thank God for them, for the engineers. And we also would like to welcome our new family of friends over in London, England, all of those in the UK that are tuning in, that are watching us live, that are listening to us. Amen. We thank you. We're so grateful, and we appreciate God for giving us an opportunity for our ministry to spread, Praise Tabernacle Church to spread. So many churches got international on their name, and there's nothing international about them. Amen. Amen. They got international on their name, on their bulletin, but there's nothing about their ministry that says international. But we're so grateful that God is opening up international doors for us. Amen. And it's not by might, neither is it by power. Not by my might, not by Elder Oliver's might, not by our leadership might, neither is it by our power, but it's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. It's by the Spirit of God. And we're just grateful that he awarded us this opportunity to preach the gospel across the world. Amen. And we are so grateful. But tonight we want to try to conclude the matter from Sunday morning, from the topic, get over it. Amen. We tried to get through it Sunday, but we got stuck on them dogs. Sunday morning we got stuck on them dogs. And I think we got to probably around verse 2 and kind of got stuck dealing with the dog pound and dealing with who let the dogs out, and dealing with not the house dogs, but the wolves that were dressed in sheep's clothing that were coming in and trying to disrupt the church and trying to preach something different than what the Apostle Paul had already preached to the church at Philippi. And that's happening today. The pastor can be, and the leadership team can be preaching and teaching one thing, and if you're not careful, somebody else will sneak in and try to preach and teach something different. Amen. That has happened to us, amen, at our local church, amen. That has happened, amen, where we have our beliefs, have our standards, amen, according to what we believe the scripture say in the right context and the hermeneutical study of the scripture. Amen. But sometimes get an erroneous doctrine amen, would get an erroneous teaching and try to bring that before the people, which is contrary to what we've already learned and what we've already studied and agreed upon according to God's word. Amen. So we just pray. But let's go to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. I'm so glad to have my precious wife back here on Thursday night. We've been so tag-teaming on Sundays over the past 2 or 3 months, just running around, amen. And, you know, she'll be ministering on Sunday morning. I'll be taking my children back baseball season. And well, it's not over. His travel team is over, but he still has a few more playoff games for his rep. His red team, but Macho is still has a couple more tournaments over the next 2 weeks or so. Amen. So my lovely wife, she'll be tuned back in Sunday morning. If you don't get enough preaching and teaching tonight, tune in on Sunday morning, and I guarantee you, you'll get a word from the Lord. So we thank God for her being here. Amen. Singing as only she can. Amen. Leading us in praise and worship. Amen. Can't nobody do it like she can. Amen. And that's to me, y'all. Y'all can say what y'all want, but to me, ain't nobody. Ain't nobody. Amen. I think that was MC Hammer years ago came out with a song that said, "Can't touch this." Yeah. Some of y'all going back. Amen. Some of y'all still got them Hammer pants. Some of y'all still got them MC Hammer pants. Amen. Amen. But to me, can't nobody. Amen. 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 Nobody can do it like my wife can. Amen. So I'm grateful and honored to have a lifelong partner in ministry. Amen. So not only is she here, but all five of my children, amen, they've been playing the instruments and singing. Amari was doing double duty tonight. She was singing and along with working the media. Pamela, my baby girl, y'all know she's always up helping with praise and worship. We got Ice Pick, amen. Omar the fourth, he's here. He's probably going to stay and help me preach in a little while. He's over there. Amen. Macho and Zach have been on the instrument, so we're grateful. So let's look at Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. Let's look at verse 13, and then I'll give you, once again, I'll give you the topic. And then I'll just read through verses 1 and 2, maybe highlight them real briefly, and then go in so we can try to finish this by 8 o'clock. Philippians, the third chapter, verse number 13. Philippians 3:13. God bless you, Deacon Berger. To all our elders and deacons that are tuning in tonight, are our evangelists. I think I've seen Evangelist McCoy. Amen. We greet you in the name of Jesus. Thank y'all so much, amen, for being committed to the ministry, being committed to the church. We thank you so much for your faithfulness to the ministry. All right. Philippians 3:13. On the count of three, if you got it, would you help me read it? Amen. If you got it, help me read it tonight. Philippians 3, very familiar passage of scripture. Hey, Ron, I see you. Brother Edmondson, God bless you. I see you tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Amen. Philippians, the third chapter, verse number 3. Let's read that together on the count of three. 1, 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. Now, verse 14 is a continuation of that, but we'll get back into that a little later. Amen. God bless you. I see someone from Augusta, Georgia. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being part of our service on tonight. Look at a neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, get over it. Amen. Look at somebody else, amen. If you got another neighbor, maybe your child or somebody, look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, tonight is the night where you make up your mind to get over it. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you now. We appreciate you. We ask that you send your anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy. That the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Let no flesh in any glory in this service. And all glory and honor goes to you. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and every heart shout amen. Come on, shout amen again. Get over it. Get over it. Amen. Get over it. There are just some things in life. I want to encourage you for another 30 minutes or tonight. There are some things in life that you just got to get over. Yes, that not only are there some things in life that you got to learn to get over, but I hate to say it. Well, I really don't hate to say it because it's just the truth. There are some people, help me tonight, that are going to bring your life, amen, that you got to learn to get over. I think that's Armand Wilson. There are some people out of Augusta, Georgia. God bless you, man. There are some issues. There are some people. There are some situations that you just got to make up in your mind. Today is the last day of putting up with that. I'm tired of the foolishness. I'm tired of the back and forth. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being tired. Oh, they say sick of being sick. Then they would say just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Just make up in your mind that I am over it now. And once you're over that thing, you ever been in a relationship and you got tired of it, God bless you, nephew. You got tired of it and you got tired of that person. There has been a time where you may have been going back and forth, but you made up in your mind, enough is enough. I'm over it now. I'm on to bigger things. Come on, Brother Zachary. I'm on to better things. God got some better things in store for me. And in order for me to get to my hero, I must drop that zero. Well, if you got a neighbor, just look real quick at that neighbor and say, neighbor, if you want to get to your hero, make up your mind and drop that zero. Amen. I don't care if that zero, amen, your boyfriend, you've been dating him for a while. Let's move on to bigger and better things. You've been dating that girl for a while, and you know it ain't going nowhere. It's just, you know there's no future. Stop wasting your time and get on with it. Let God send you to the right one. Or let the right one, let God send the right one to you. But you got to make up in your mind. I just challenge those listening to me all over the world to make up in your mind. There's just some things and some people that tonight is the last night. I'm burying it tonight. It's being buried. It's being put in the ground, ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. I'm through with it. It's not benefiting me. Matter of fact, when I look back over my life, I've spent more than enough time. I've spent more than enough money. I've been too committed to this situation. I've been too committed to this person. I've been too committed to this relationship only to find out that there's no goal. There's nothing that we're going to achieve together. Amen. You've been just dating. I'm not talking to your marriage, but amen. Not as much as to those that's just playing around with people. You better make up in your mind tonight that I'm getting over it. Drop your hand and shout, get over it. Paul, in verse 1, look at verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. First family, my brother. That's family, family. After everything that's been said and done, here's the climax of it right here. Family, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. As we stated on Sunday, God bless you, Sister Tierra. As we stated on Sunday, especially in my position as a pastor, that sometimes there are messages
that we may have to preach over and over again. Paul is saying here, I know I've told y'all about this one, but it's not grievous, it's not bothersome to me for me to tell it to you again. The reason why it's not bothering to me, because it's for you, it is sick. In other words, it's for your benefit. Amen. As pastor of a church, it's my job to watch out. Lord, help me tonight. Watch out for rules. Watch out for those that would like to come in and stir up mess. Amen. It's my job to reprove and to rebuke. Amen. The other elders, it's their job. Amen. To reprove and to rebuke. And if we know somebody comes among the flock that does not mean the flock any good, it's our job to call that person out. Y'all are going to help me here. Amen. You never, listen, years ago, you could call folks out and they would rebuke. Amen. And get themselves right and let the church win away. But man, if you call folks out, if you reprove and you rebuke, amen, they'll leave the church. Lord, help us talk about you. Amen. And Lord, act like you ain't did nothing right before them. Amen. But it's still our job, and in spite of what people do, amen, as the pastor, as the leaders of our church, it's our job to still cry loud. Stand up, don't spare. We can't spare anybody. Amen. You can't keep preaching fruit loops, amen, and fruity double messages. Amen. You're going to risk not only sending folks or folks going to hell. Amen. You're going to risk you going to hell. Because you know that person ain't living what God says they should live. Amen. And I just want y'all to understand tonight, everybody's not going to heaven. Amen. But it's our job as the preachers, as the teachers, amen, to show the people the ways of God. And not only to tell them, but to be an example. Paul talked about being an example to the people. And here he's telling them to church at Philippi to remember what he told them. Remember how he's lived in front of them, that when these walls come in, they'll have a solid foundation of not only who Paul is, but ultimately who Christ is. I know only want y'all to know who I am. That's good, and you should know me, amen, because I live among you. The Bible does say no one that lives among you. But ultimately, amen, and first and foremost, it's my job to make sure you know who Christ is. It's not my job to point you to me. I'm here to point you to Christ. Have I got a witness in here tonight? So Paul said, but to you it is faith. He said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the contention. Okay, these evil ones, he ain't talking about the folks, amen, out in the world. He's talking about folks in the church. The people that have evil intentions. Sometimes folks will come right up in church, amen, and know they don't mean the church any good. Amen. And they'll stir up stuff in the pews. Amen. And now, not only in the pews, but in the pulpit, they'll stir up stuff. In the pulpit, and you understand anybody that shot a dog at them, amen, or even got a cat, when you stir mess up, it smells worse.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
When you stir it up, it smells worse. So Paul said, I gave you, I talked about them dogs on Sunday. Ain't gonna spend much time about the dogs of Paul. Amen. He makes it plainly clear. These were not the home dogs. These were not the trained dogs, the dogs that, amen, would be in the house. They were wild dogs. Had no orders, had no accountability. They had nobody that they had to report to. There was nobody watching them. And I gave y'all the illustration about the community, amen, that I was born and raised in, Linwood Park. Amen. We had stray dogs. Now, you put the trash out, these dogs would come, amen, put it out at night. By that morning, the dogs from up the street, down the street, around the corner would come and eat and go through your trash. And by that morning, you got a mess on your hands. Now we live here. Hey, that's right, Evangelist McCoy, no training. I live in a suburb now. We live in a community where here the dogs are on leashes. They got owners, they got accountability. And when the owner walks the dog, the owner knows to carry a plastic bag with them. Why do the owner carry a plastic bag with the dog? Because the reason one for them taking the dog out, amen, we know to get exercise, but also so that the dog can relieve themselves. relieve themselves. Amen. And when they relieve themselves, generally, they're going to relieve themselves in somebody else's yard. Lord, I don't want to get stuck right here tonight. Get the Holy Ghost. They leave their mess in somebody else's yard. And I just came to tell somebody, you better be careful if you got even a train dog that'll leave a mess in your house. So these dogs, the good part about when they got an owner, the owner knows to carry that bag. So when the dog releases that mess, they pick the mess up with the trash bag, with a plastic bag, and take it back home with them and dispose of it. But a dog that doesn't have any accountability, amen, will crap, amen, all over the place. Amen. It might do a little bit of this to try to cover it up. Amen. That's what happened in the church, in family. Folks will lay their mess and try to do some of this to cover it up. You got to be careful with dogs. Dogs will stir up the whole church and try to cover up their mess, and then you don't know. You know it's mess because you can smell it, because you can see it, but because they tried to cover it up, you don't know who caused the mess. Lord, you got to walk. Lord, let me just get here. Lord, I can preach over dogs for the next. Amen. So be careful. Be careful. Amen. I told me and the wife went about the rain, so now we can see who's coming. Amen. I had to call one of the names and say, hey, now, this mess in my yard. You need to send your son back down here to get this mess up. Because we see now, we know who did it. And God, amen. Listen, there's no way you're going to be walking with God and living for God, and God don't allow you to see who's making a mess. It may take a while, amen. It may seem like they're getting by, but eventually, amen, all that they done covered up, you're going to be able to trace it back to them.
Yeah.
See, little dogs need little messes, but big dogs need big messes. And sometimes in the church, amen, you got to watch them big dogs, man. You got to watch the little ones, amen, because they stuff stink too, but you really got to watch them big dogs. So when the big dog leaves a mess, everybody's liable to step in it. Now everybody's taking mess back home. Lord, help me tonight. Lord, let me get through here. Oh, Lord, I can preach on dogs. I guess the year come back. But let me get over here. Let's look at verse 3. Paul is encouraging them, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul is telling the church at Philippi, we are the circumcision. We are the ones that got it the right way. The circumcision is of the heart. It's the spiritual circumcision. It's being circumcised spiritually. Amen. Not just natural. See, the Jews on the eighth day are the boys. The tradition was for them to be circumcised the eighth day. I think Paul will mention that in a few scriptures. The Ishmael, like, I think at the age of 13, and then the prophets, those that converted into Judaism, by the time they got grown, they would be circumcised. But Paul is telling them now, we ain't worried about the natural or the fleshly circumcision. Amen. If you want to be circumcised, let it be the circumcision of your heart. Let it be internal. Y'all ain't gonna help me tonight. Let it be our inward work. There's an old song that says something on the inside. Working on the outside. Only for the change in my life. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. They that worship must worship in the Spirit and the truth. How do you know when somebody ain't spiritual? That's because when you know it is, how you know it is when you see them constantly operating in their flesh, constantly trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how you know they're not operating in the Spirit. They don't even have a spiritual eye. They don't have a spiritual mind. If everything goes back to self-gratification. And I'm telling you tonight, even with yourself, you got to learn to get over you.
Right.
I said it, ain't gonna take it back. Even you got to learn to get over you. Paul said in verse 4, I'm moving on here, but I might also have confidence in the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Paul said, if I want to brag, I can brag. If any other, or if any other man thinking that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul is setting it up. He's setting up the stage. He's getting ready to introduce what all his accomplishments are, his pedigree. Okay, some of you now, you got so many degrees, you are accomplished, you come from a well-known family, and all that is good. Okay, watch what Apostle Paul says about all this stuff. Okay, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, I come from a good family. If any other man thinketh that he has well, he might trust in the flesh, Paul says, I'm more. I can brag about where I'm from. I can brag about the accomplishments I made, I've made. I can brag about my upbringing. Then Paul goes ahead on and explains who he is. Okay? He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I just told you about that. Of the stock of Israel. In other words, Paul was a full-blooded Jew, a full-blooded Hebrew. Okay, of the stock of Israel, meaning he was no half breed, he wasn't mixed with a whole bunch of stuff. And that he was a full blooded of his mama and daddy's side. Full blooded Hebrew.
Yeah.
Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. We know Benjamin was the baby boy. Benjamin was Joseph's brother by mother and father. Benjamin was the baby. And you remember all them tricks Joseph played on his brothers? And he tricked them and said, look, I need the baby boy, I need Benjamin. Whoever that is, bring him. And then I think Joseph made Benjamin stay. Why did the other brothers want to get the daddy and everybody else? Okay? So Paul was of the lineage of Benjamin. He was a Benjamite. And the Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, Paul said, I was a Pharisee. Uh-huh. One of the strictest set. Okay, Pharisees, they knew the law. They preached the law. They taught the law. They didn't much live it.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them didn't. Some did. Paul was one of the ones that held true to the teachings, to the fundamentalists. He was a fundamentalist. Okay? Concerning zeal, he was persecuting the church. These same ones that he's preaching to now, in the beginning, he was persecuted. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, no one can even place anything on me concerning the law. No one can spot my life. No one can say they ever saw me out of order concerning the law. Paul, according to him being a Pharisee and according to the law, Paul knew what he was telling others about. He was fully committed. But what things were gained to me, verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul said, all my degrees, all my pharmaceutical garments, all my priestly, all my law stuff, my law degrees, all this stuff, I counted loss. In other words, Paul said, I'm getting over it. He said, I am over it. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Yeah.
How many of you have gotten to that point where your job and your degrees and your house and your cars, you count it lost? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Amen. Remember, all had a nice thing. Amen. But you don't let the nice things dictate your character. You don't let nice things pull you out of being who you claim to be in Christ. We know the word says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Paul said, I count it all lost for Christ. Listen, beloved, what have you given up? Those of you in London, what have you given up? What sacrifices have you made for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Don't mean you got to be poor. That's not what I'm saying. But you got money, but money don't have you. You know how to give. You're cheerful. God bless you, Mother Blair. I see you tonight. God bless you. But Paul said, I got all this stuff. but to know Christ, to have Christ. Anything that pulls away from me having my relationship with Christ, I get rid of it. Listen, beloved, the Lord word means sometimes there's people in your life, sometimes it's family, that you have to learn to get over. Right. I count it loss. I count it loss for Christ. Remember this, I told y'all this a couple months ago. There are some people in your life for a reason. That's the reason why they're there. But then there are some that are there for a season. You got to know the difference. And understand when their season is up, it's time for them to go. Ain't no sense in hating on it. Your season with me is up. It's time for you to go. Amen. Let me get through here. Yea, doubtless, they're good. And I count all things but what? Loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul said, all my achievements, I count it loss. I count it loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And Paul said, all of these achievements, I count it but dung, that do waste. Paul said, don't even matter. It's useless. It's useless. And some of us, we hold on to stuff, and we hold on to people that God is trying to pull out. God is trying to, amen, he's telling you the reason that everybody is up and the season, if the length of time is up, but you're still trying to hold on to them. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Paul said, I count it but dumb. I count my career. If it's going to pull me away from Christ, that's going to keep me from being closer and having an independent relationship with Jesus. I count it lost. I count it worthless. It's useless. Help me tonight. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Verse 9. I'm moving on through here tonight, Tyrell. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Remember, he knew the law. And he was blameless according to the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul isn't trying to instill in the church of Philippi, don't let nobody come in and preach and make you think in order to really know God and have Jesus. It's about material and fleshly stuff. It's spiritual. It has nothing to do with the natural and the fleshly and the form and the fashion. And a lot of God knows a lot of us are going to church out of form and fashion. But now that the churches are closed down to a point, man, it's really short. What do you really have? And some of y'all, you just showing yourself. You ain't really had, you've been in church all your life, but you ain't had God. No relationship. No fellowship. When the church closed down, when the churches stopped going as usual, you lost all faith, lost all hope. Oh, Lord, let me get through here tonight. That I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, I count all this stuff but dung, that I may know him. Let me know the way to say, just the closer walk with me. Granted, Jesus is my pity. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That's part of our problem right there. We don't want to go through nothing. You think being a Christian, amen, and some of y'all watching the wrong pastors on TV, amen. Some of these pastors making y'all think that because you're a Christian, you ain't going to have no hiccups, amen. Stuff ain't going to happen, amen. Your children ain't going to go crazy sometimes. Your spouse ain't going to act crazy sometimes. And some of you trying to live your best life now. If you're living your best life now, just, amen, what is the thing about going to heaven? Amen. You have to be, not only if we suffer with him, we know if we suffer, we're going to reign with him. Yeah. You're trying to live your best life now. And the more you're getting closer to living your best life, the less of God you got, the less of Jesus Christ you got. Because you're trying to live your best life. Because some no good pastor that told you about your prosperity, and you got to live it now, get it now.
Come on.
Jesus already made it plain and clear. The poor you're going to have with you always. And why all the prophets and the prosperity is always about millionaire? Why you don't never hear nobody prophesy you're going to be a billionaire? Or a trillionaire? You don't never hear nobody prophesying that. You're going to be a millionaire. And the only one keeps getting rich is the one that prophesied. Because y'all keep getting in them lines and keep spending their rent money. And then you got to go back to your pastor and ask for help. You give to your church, sow into some that you know is right. Some of y'all sowing in the other place and they give them in the other place, and these folks ain't gonna come see you. They don't matter who you are, they sending you spring water that they got out their bathtub. They hit you like, yeah, this water is from the Sea of Galilee. That water is from they seek. And here you are giving all the money. And the pastor said, hey, we need to raise. We need to, oh, God, that church. All they do is ask for money. They don't let me. You didn't have no problem sending your money over to get some olive oil. And that ain't nothing but oil from Kroger. Matter of fact, it ain't from Kroger. It's from the Dollar Tree. And here you are sowing $25, $40, $50. And your pastor sitting there preaching to you, praying for you, and counseling you, and you don't give him nothing. Shame on you. Yeah, I said it. Shame on you. Amen. Let me get through here. What scripture am I on? Paul said that I may know him. Okay? And the power of his resurrection. I'm getting on out of him now. And the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I want to be able to do it just like him. Conformable, compatible, okay, consistent with Christ's death. Meaning Christ even had some things he had to get over. And we likewise, there's some things we got to just get over. To be conformable, compatible to his death. Even in baptizing. That's symbolic to the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. There's an outward confession of an inward, or outward possession of an inward confession. Okay, just so that the world can see you identify with Christ, with his life. His death, his burial, and conform to like death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Yeah. That if it means I might attain until the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, I'm looking for that day. No. I'm getting rid of everything. I'm getting over everything that may keep me from the knowledge and the excellency of Christ. I'm getting over those things. It's Paul. Verse 17, I'm about happy now. He says, not as though I had already attained. Paul here said, not as though I had already reached my goals. Paul said, not as though I've already arrived to my final destination. I'm going to grab that for me. Not as though I've already achieved every goal that I've had concerning Christ. Yeah, he says, not as though I had already attained. In other words, not as though I've already grabbed a hold or to the ultimate goals. Not as though I had already finished my course, and now I'm ready, to be offered later. He said, I either were already perfect. Paul is letting us know he still got the things that he is working on. Yeah, he has a great pedigree, but he got rid of all of that so that he can know Christ in a better way. Is there anybody here that wants to know God in a better way? Paul said, yeah, but I follow after if that I may apprehend. Meaning I got some goals, I got some places in God that I must reach. If that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, just as if God has captured me, Christ has captured me, I desire, yeah, to capture him. Don't you understand that God wants a personal relationship with you? He don't only want to hear your voice when you're in need of something. He don't only want to, yeah, hear your voice when you're sick and when you're struggling, but God wants to hear you all the time. There was an old song that said, yeah, a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear your sainted call. And he'll answer by and by. If there's somebody that will just wave your hand and shout glory. So Paul said, brother, right here is our text and our subject in verse 13. There are all of us in this belief, the Bible declares. He says, brother, here, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul is saying, I don't count myself to have reached that point in God just yet. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I would like to ask Brother Paul, what are some of those things you are forgetting? And if Paul was here tonight, he'd say, I'm forgetting that I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. If Paul was here tonight, he would say, I'm forgetting I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. If Brother Paul was here tonight, he would say, I'm forgetting I was circumcised the 8 days. If he was here tonight, he would say, I'm forgetting I was a Pharisee blameless. And I just want to ask y'all tonight, what have you forgot about that you may know Christ? What have you gotten rid of that you may know Christ? Not only that, who will you need to get rid of so that you may know Christ? Have I got a witness there? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. And I'll reach and talk unto those things which are before. In other words, Paul is making a conscious effort not to just reach one time. Say yes. Not to just reach one time. But Paul is saying, I'm a constant reach for the Lord. He said, tell me, I count not myself to have apprehended. That this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. stop worrying about folks that keep hanging up your past and keep pressing all the up in the and watch God continue to bless you. Keep moving high up in the Lord and watch God move on your behalf. Why don't somebody say yeah? Talk that to be the old things which are behind. And I'm reaching out to the old things which are before. And the Bible says, Paul declared our prince toward the Lord for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I came to tell somebody, you may not get your dream house down here, but keep pressing it forward. You may not get your dream automobile, but keep moving forward. You may not get your dream house. You may not get your dream job, but keep moving forward. They may talk about you, but keep pressing forward. Keep on going. I heard the Bible declare in Luke the 9th chapter, 23 through 26. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you're going to come after Jesus, you got to deny yourself. You got to put your ideas. You got to put your goals on the back burner and ask God, what do you have me to do? You got to forget about your prayer and let your soul drop and ask God, what is best for my life? Ask God, what is your will for my life? Is there anybody here that wants to know tonight what God's will is for your life? Lift up your hands and say, Lord, show me what your will is. Show me what your plan is for my life. I don't wanna keep going around with my own goals, with my own plans, with my own ideas. Oh Lord, show me what your will is. Show me what your purpose is for my life. While I'm on this job, what do you have me to do? While I'm in this community, what will you have me to do? While I'm in this church, what will you have me to do? Please, your adorance, the Holy Ghost, is calling you to be prayed, and the Holy Ghost is pressing charges tonight to all of y'all listening to my voice. The Holy Ghost is charging you tonight as a felony that you've already committed.
And now it's time to play the piper. You've been on the run for a long time. You've been peeping and hiding, sticking and dodging, going to the hotel to get motel, looking for a home that won't fail. But God is arresting you tonight, and one of the charges that God is bringing is loneliness. You can sit down, won't get up, not doing no ministry. You know God has called you to preach, but you won't preach. You know God has called you to be an evangelist, and you won't evangelize. You know God has called you to be a teacher, and you're sitting there not doing nothing. But tonight is the night where you and I get over it. Get over our frustrations. Get over our thoughts. Get over our failures. Get over your shortcomings. And may God, oh Lord, here I am. Come with me. I'm offering myself a living sacrifice. Holy, holy, holy. Holy and acceptable unto God. The Bible declares in Luke 9:23-26, if any man, woman, boy, girl, will come after me, if you're going to follow Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Say yeah, the time is good for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. Say yeah, for what is a man advances if he gains the whole world and lose his soul, or be cast away? The Bible says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of himself, the Son of Man, be ashamed. Say yeah, when he shall come in his glory, when he shall come in his glory, and in his Father, and his Father, and the holy angels. Is there anybody here that will jump in your feet and say, I'm over it now, right where you are? In your living room, in your kitchen, jump to your feet and decree and declare, enough is enough. I'm not bellyaching no more. Enough is enough. I'm not complaining about it no more. Enough is enough. I'm not crying about it no more. It's over. Would you hop out a neighbor and say, neighbor, it's over. Yeah, over. Yeah. I'm over it.
I'm so glad that Jesus got over it
Somebody say, Brother Omar, how do you know Jesus got over it? I'm glad you asked. How do I know that Jesus got over it? The reason I know he got over it, because I heard him say, Father! He said, Father! Now, Father! Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He got over it, and he hung it down. That's the word for somebody. Get over it and hang on in there. Get over it and hang on in there. Jesus died. They took him down, bearing him in a ball or two. But he had to get over it. He was in there all day Friday. But he got over it in there all day Saturday. But he got over it. Sunday morning came around, and it was the time for him to really get over it, because he got up with all power in his hands, and because he lived. I said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can get over all my failures. Because he lives, I can get over all my shortcomings, all my mistakes. And I think to tell you, get over it and hang all over. Yeah!
God bless you. God bless you tonight. Get over it. It's done. Yeah, they hurt you, but get over it. They mistreated you. They took your kindness to weakness. But tonight is your night to declare, I'm over it now. And I got about 50 folks that'll make a comment. I see you, Sister Harris, saying, I got over it. Is there anybody else that'll comment tonight, Brother Omar, I'm over it now? Let me see you. Would you make a comment? I'm over it. I ain't crying about that no more. That ain't gonna hold me down no more. I'm over it. God bless you tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of our Thursday night service. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to be in your home, in your automobile, wherever you are. Some are in the hospital. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm over it. You must be over it. We got to get over it. Your past issues, get over it. Stop letting people hold you down. Stop letting people hold your past stuff over your neck, over your head. Stop hanging around folks that keep reminding you of your past. I'm through. I got to cut it. Stop hanging with folks. Stop inviting them to the barbecue if you know they're going to keep reminding you of what you used to do. Because now you have the assurance that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things come new. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you so much. Man, listen, we want to raise an offering, a Thursday night offering. Amen. For those of you that are listening, we pray that you ask God, even on tonight,
What can I render? What can I give? We don't never charge for the word. Okay? We don't charge for the word. So that's why we ask. There's no special amount. If God lays on your heart to give a dollar on tonight, we ask that you just obey God. If you don't feel He's telling you to give anything, then so be it. So be it. But if you feel that God, you feel that this has been a blessing to you, you look and you see, well, it's the whole family, all the his wife and the children, ain't just me. You see, man, the whole family is praising and worshiping God. And if this has encouraged you on tonight, and you would like to sow a seed, you would like to be a blessing. Say, Brother Omar, keep going. I'm enjoying the preaching. I'm enjoying the singing, enjoying the music. I'm enjoying Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries on Thursday night. And we want you to keep going because you're helping my family. You're helping me. Amen. If we said something tonight that encouraged you, that you feel was beneficial, and you feel God laying it on your heart to be a blessing financially, we ask that you do so. You have two ways on tonight in which you can give. We have a couple of announcements we got to make. Amen. But the first way you can give, you can send it directly to me tonight. The information is out on the screen. Cash App, $OZ. That's Omar Zachary, $OZ, and the number's 264. You can do it right now. Would you be a blessing tonight? If I've sold into you spiritual, according to the word, it's just right to sow back your natural. And we just ask that you obey whatever the Lord's laying on your heart to do on tonight, whatever the amount is. Amen. Once again, the Cash App is $OZ. The number is 264. 264. OZ 264. That's for those that would like to Cash App an offering on tonight. We also have a way for those that would like to give by PayPal or Zelle or debit or credit card. If you want to use your debit or credit, you don't have a Cash App and you would like to be a blessing tonight financially, you want to use your debit, credit card, or PayPal, call our church offices right now and just let them know this is for Brother Omar for Thursday night service. The number to call is 678-760-6056. Once again, 678-760-6056. And may the Lord bless you real good. One more time. The Cash App directly, $OZ264. And the number to call for debit, credit card, or PayPal is Zelle, 678-760-6056. And may the Lord bless you real good. Listen, we just got a couple announcements, and in about 5 minutes, we're going to pray, and we're going to let you go. Amen. We want you to, let's see, prayer list. We keep Elder Stokes, the Stokes family, in prayer. The Tate family with my nephew, Adore, keep them in prayer. The Bluett family, Sister Asha, I keep her in prayer. Brother Wendell Martin, his mother, Sister Melanie Martin, I think I've seen her on tonight. Let's keep them in prayer. We also want you to, another, my family, we had some devastating news a few nights ago. Man, my last cousin, my youngest cousin on my mama's side, Brother Dante Walker, he passed away, 24 years old. And y'all remember a couple of months or so ago, we was praying for my two aunties, Auntie Vaughn and my Auntie Georgette. We're glad that God touched their bodies. They both have recovered. But Dante is my Auntie Georgette's only child. He's the last. We was all about grown by the time she had him. She's the baby girl of my mother's siblings. She's the baby girl of my mother's siblings, and she lost her only son on, I think it was Tuesday night, 24 years old, Brother Dante, Dante, we called him Tanky Walker, had a motorcycle, some type of motorcycle, dirt bike accident out on Covington Highway. I think it was Tuesday night. So y'all keep my family. His mother name is Georgette Walker, Sister Georgette Walker. Call her name out in prayer. Amen. We only God can do anything during this type of time. So keep my family, keep us in prayer. Amen. The funeral will be next week, next Saturday. So 24 years old, he had a baby, like maybe 1 or 2 years old. But keep them in prayer. Okay. All right. I guess we have that other information. But those of you, let me see if I can get it. If there's anyone that's interested, our high school, and this will be the last announcement. Thank you for those that already start giving. I see it. Thank you so much. For those that would like a job during the, polling. Hold on. Let me get the information. Because our high school, y'all know I serve the high school football team. I had a talk with one of the coaches on last night. Election poll officials. So our high school coach and football team has partnered with the Atlanta Falcons. And they are looking for workers to work the polls for the upcoming elections. So if you out there and you are interested, you need a little job, you need some extra money, you interested in getting this information, send us a text so we can text the information to you on what to do. Okay? Yeah, Sister Kim, Thomas saying, Amari, you did a great job interviewing the coach. Thank you. Y'all subscribe. Y'all like, comment, and subscribe to all that. Thank y'all so much. Thank you so much. That's Amaria Sports Talk. Is that right? Okay, on YouTube, Amaria Sports Talk. Go there and subscribe. Okay, if you need some extra cash, okay, text this number, 678-790-7037. Okay, 678-790-7037. Okay, text that number. Members, you know who that number is. Okay, 678-790-7037. Send a text to that number if you're interested in making some extra money. Okay, my sister's saying polls, Lord, y'all pray for Shan. She said she retired from working on the polls. I don't know if my brother-in-law Ricky knows that or not, but she said she just retired from working on the polls. So y'all pray for Shan that God completely deliver her from the pole dancing. Yeah, y'all pray for Shan. But if you're interested, if you want to know more about that, if you text that number, 678-790-7037, just put your interest in and find more information. That way we can send it to you. We can send the information to you. They just told me that last night. I got a call from Coach Gibbs, and we're trying to do it in the community for folks that need some extra income. So text that number if you're interested. You don't have to call that number. Just text it. I'm interested. And we'll send the information back to you expeditiously. Okay? So you can get the information. Yeah, y'all pray for Shane. All right. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Remember, Sunday morning, Lord's willing. We thank those in London, in the UK. Thank you so much. We pray that you was blessed by this ministry on the night. Every Thursday night, we'll be giving God the praise. Meet us back on Sunday morning. We'll be back here on Sunday morning. My precious wife will be bringing forth the bread of life. Amen. On Sunday morning, it's been a few weeks, about a month or so since she's brought the message, so I know she's full and ready to deliver. Amen. So y'all tune in and help her preach, help her teach on Sunday morning. Y'all push her to go ahead on and let the Lord use her. Amen. On Sunday morning. Thank you again, Chaos Block Talk Radio. Amen. Elder Alder, Lady Keefa Alder, we love y'all. Thank you so much. All the sponsors, all the engineers, we thank y'all so much. Amen. Praise God. Now keep praying for your pastor, my wife, and for my family. Keep praying for us. Amen. That God will continue rest, rule, and abide in our lives. And we're going to continue to pray for y'all. Till we meet again on Sunday morning. Amen. God be with you. God, we thank you. We appreciate you. If there's one that don't know you under the sound of my voice that would like to know you and the pardon of their sin, if that's you on tonight and you got some things you just need to get over, the first thing you need to get over is yourself, and you want to decree and declare that on tonight, and you want to make Jesus your choice, all that you got to do is repeat this after me. Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I committed. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Then tonight, I'm getting over it, and I'm opening up the doors of my heart, and I'm welcoming Jesus in to be Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you once again. We appreciate you just leave this place whenever you're present. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you.